when you look at today's gospel, and then you pair it with the gospel that you heard 3 weeks ago. Very, very similar. Each case offers a person engaged with Jesus on the commandments and the understanding of what you have to do to be good. In the case of the one 2 weeks ago, it was the rich young man. And he asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, Jesus is used to people who ask him questions, doing so usually with the intent of trapping him. And so he responds to the rich young man, says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." And then he goes to the commandments: "You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And he said, "Teacher, all of these I have observed from my youth." And then it says, Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go sell what you have and give to the poor." At that, his face fell and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. And of course, that particular gospel, that exchange he had, gives us the understanding of it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter heaven. But we've talked quite often through the years that we're not actually talking about a camel getting through a real needle. We're talking about the fact that in that walled city of Jerusalem, there were a couple entry points that were called the eye of the needle. But in order to get a camel through that, you had to get the saddle off, you had to get everything off of him, get him down on a low level to the ground, coax him through. So that's how difficult it is to get a camel through the eye of the needle. But important to recognize that it's not impossible, as it certainly would be to get a real camel through a real needle, but still extremely difficult. And Jesus, of course, was distressed. It says that he was determined to have this person follow him. And when we think about it, we would know his name. We just refer to him as the rich young man. And no name that goes with it. We'd be referring to him probably as Saint something or other by now if he had actually sold what he had, given to the poor, and followed Jesus. This particular gospel we have today is another exchange, Jesus and someone else, that ends up revolving around the commandments. And we don't know if this is a young man, probably not, in fact. One of the scribes comes, and I think in good faith, which is the first of all the commandments? And Jesus reaches back to that passage from Deuteronomy that we heard today. He says, "The first is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' And the second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" We call that first commandment the Shema. And of course, it's very central in the Jewish faith. We, as I say, hear it from Moses and Deuteronomy. And it's a beautiful response, I think, from Jesus, because what it does is it keeps the focus on the Shema, the oneness of God, and the fact that he has that personal relationship with Israel. But it also, in a way, summarizes the Ten Commandments, doesn't it? I mean, when we think about this first one, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and strength and mind, I think we can recognize that that Jesus is saying to us that that does give us our starting point, and it does summarize in many ways the first three commandments. Certainly the oneness of a God, the keeping the Sabbath holy, not profaning God's name. And then if you look at the loving our neighbor as ourselves, isn't that a summary of the last seven commandments? Anywhere from honoring our father and mother on through not killing, not committing adultery, not giving false witness, not coveting, all of the things that we associate with that has to do with loving our neighbor as ourself. And in this one, again, because of the response of the scribe here, saying to him, "Well said, teacher, you are right in saying he is one and there is no other than he. And to love our neighbor as ourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." It says that Jesus saw that he answered with understanding and said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And of course, the teacher, scribe that is coming to see him is engaged, I think, in temple matters, and certainly he is one that would recognize when he says that loving our neighbor as ourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. That's what the temple deals with, is burnt offerings and sacrifices. That's their lifeblood. And we know, of course, that we followers of Jesus from the very first century no longer offered animal sacrifice. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was the final, complete sacrifice. And the second reading, of course, deals with that. I want to make just a quick reference, though, in our Deuteronomy reading, because I think that also gives us a little bit of an understanding of how our appreciation for the life that's to come has changed. He points out that, "Be careful to observe the commandments that you may grow and prosper the more, in keeping with the promise of the Lord, the God of our fathers, to give you a land flowing with milk and honey." Well, I'm not at all dismissing the fact that people who have a real spiritual commitment and prayer life and a clear understanding of where they're trying to go with their spiritual life do not become blessed on this earth with that. But in truth, we come to discover since the time of Deuteronomy and on through Jesus that it isn't about being rewarded in this life. It isn't like having more children, not having more livestock, having more crops. It might be that you have that, but that wasn't necessarily because of your good behavior. We have come to understand, as people who know there's a life after this one, that that is where our reward comes. And likewise, that those who may be enduring hardships here, and so many of us are at a certain level, are not necessarily being punished for some sins. Those are the things that happen in our life, and the Lord corrects it when we get to the other side of life. So a fascinating give and take, Jesus in action, and of course knowing that most of the questions that come his way are intended to trap him, I think appreciated both with the rich young man, disappointed though that ending was, and the scribe, that there was real desire to learn, to grow, to understand the truths of our faith. So a good reminder to us, but also I think in the loving our neighbor as ourselves being worth more than all the burnt offerings, I think we also want to recognize that as important as it is to live the commandments, and both of those gospel readings, Jesus addresses the commandments, to recognize that loving our neighbor as ourselves can go beyond that, can it? That's the call for a higher response, to do the extra things for others, to be selfless in our service, very much as Jesus modeled for us.